Welcome to the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast, where we discuss important topics for buyers, sellers, and investors in the Toronto area real estate market. Here's your host, Randy Selzer.
Hello, everybody. It's Randy Selzer here. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to my YouTube channel. Today, we have a very special guest. Debbie Kosick is here today. She is the founder and CEO of Intuition Realty, which is a major player in the Greater Toronto Area in the pre-construction field. Debbie's been a real estate influencer now for many years throughout the GTA, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, especially pre-construction. So welcome, Debbie. So nice to have you on board today.
Oh, thank you, Randy. We're thrilled to be here, and thank you for the opportunity again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It really is. So, Debbie, you and I have met before briefly, but tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've been in the industry for a long time. First of all, where are you from? Are you originally from Toronto?
Actually, I was originally born in Croatia, Randy. I came here when I was 18 months old.
Okay.
And with my parents as immigrants, they were political refugees, and we slept on a park bench for 2 days when we came to Canada because they knew absolutely nobody in Toronto. They had a suitcase and an 18-month-old baby with them. And fast forward, you know, industrious immigrants, they were a great bonus to, you know, the Canadian economy. They both got jobs within a week, second jobs within a few weeks, brought over 8 family members over the years who have been here now for, you know, over 50 years and have built families. They're on third generations now. So that's my original heritage. But I ended up in real estate, particularly in pre-construction, because I had joined... I graduated from university in one of those odd years where you just couldn't find a job in the field. I actually graduated in political science. And yes, I know everybody's kind of chuckling. You know, we used to joke there's a basket.
I was anthropology, right? So you're political science. Well, that sure helped. Anyway,
I actually wanted to be a politician. Everybody makes fun of me nowadays when I tell that story. Like, what do you mean you didn't go to business school? You don't have an MBA. I'm like, no, I actually was I grew up in a very political family because my parents were political refugees. We've always supported various parties. I was like 10 years old delivering flyers in my neighborhood for my MP and MPP. So I really had this desire to get into politics. So, you know, apply to one of the parties and go through a whole series of interviews. Can't get a job. They finally call me after the third interview and say, congrats. And in the interim, I decide I'm going to get my real estate license. Can't sit at home, right? So, and I can't survive off this part-time, you know, whatever it was, an $8 an hour job. So I get my real estate license, join an org. It was a countrywide back at the time. And the top agent in the office says to me, you know, why don't you host one of my open houses this weekend? And it was off Mississauga Road. So I'm like, what do I know? I host this open house for him. You know, I do everything possible wrong, from putting up the signs the wrong way to whatever. And lo and behold, there's this lovely couple come through and they purchase the house. They end up buying this.
So on now Mississauga I'm Road.
Off you of Mississauga Road.
Yeah. Okay.
This is so many years ago when I graduated from university. It was a $16,000 commission. And the Liberal Party calls me a couple of weeks later and says, congratulations, we're going to offer you this job. Like, hundreds of people have applied for this position, you know, and the, you know, the president of the party started in this position. This is such a big deal. I'm like, well, how much does it pay? And I'm like, $16,000. I'm not interested. What do you mean you're not interested? You went through 3 sets of interviews. I go, no. I just made $16,500 in one transaction in real estate. And the lady says to me on the phone, but that's not a career. I beg to differ. I think that really is a very valid career. And that's when the light bulb kind of went off. I thought, oh my God, I can make unlimited money. I've got great flexibility. You know, sky's the limit. There really isn't a glass ceiling here. It doesn't matter who you are, your age, your sex, your gender, whatever. It's all a result of your hard work, right? So that's how I stayed in real estate. Went to work for a developer as a fluke and worked for a developer for 12 and a half years and kept hiring and firing listing brokers, like these pre-construction brokers, like what we do. They simply couldn't find a formula that I needed. Got fed up and decided I'm going to go out on my own. I'm going to create the formula. And for us, fortunately, it has been a winning formula. And, you know, there's results speak for themselves. We're, you know, across Canada, we've been selling in the United States too. We've had enormous, enormous success. And that really is, you know, a function of great development industry that we have here that you know, we've rode that. But I have a fantastic team, very, very incredible team behind me. So
That's an amazing story. I'm still thinking about the park bench, but that's amazing. And selling a house off of Mississauga Road, for those of you who don't know the area of Mississauga, Mississauga Road is one of the top high prestige streets in the city. And to sell on an open house, that's amazing. Good for you. That was meant to be. And I definitely believe you made the right decision to stay in real estate and not go into politics. Although who knows, you could be prime minister today. You could be.
No interest.
Okay, so yes, really. Yeah, I try to keep out of politics, really. But let's talk a little bit about pre-construction, because you're absolutely right what you said. We've been so strong here in the GTA over the past 15, 20 years. It's just been amazing. My wife and I moved out from Toronto to Mississauga, and we bought our first house in 1991. And it was like living in the country. It was like living in the country. You could drive up Winston Churchill, there were farms with cows, and, you know, square one was nothing, a lot of open fields around the mall. And that's just Mississauga. And downtown Toronto, there were lots of open parking lots, and the density was nothing like what it is today. But we've been on a tear. I mean, you have to admit, we've been on a tear in terms of real estate, both for pricing for MLS sales, for existing properties, but also for pre-construction. And for those of you listening in who are not too sure about what pre-construction is, that's when you buy a property. Typically, it could be a house or a townhouse, but typically, especially in the GTA, it's a high-rise building. It's a high-rise condominium that isn't built yet. Basically, you're buying like a futures contract on this property. It's being built by a builder, but usually represented by a marketing team such as Intuition Realty. And you're buying that before it gets built. And there's a series of steps that take place. It's completely different than buying on the MLS. And so I was wondering, Debbie, for the benefit of our listeners, if we could go through some of the basics about how this process works. How do you buy a place that isn't built yet? Let's say a big developer is going to build a new high rise somewhere in, let's say, Islington and Dundas or something. I'm just making that up. I know you're involved across Southern Ontario, so wherever you guys are working, but it's a high rise building, and they come out and they do some advertising. They say, well, it's going to be built in 3 to 4 years, or they have a date sometime in, I don't know, 2028 when it's going to be available for occupancy. And you go to a presentation, or maybe you have a realtor who goes on your behalf, or maybe you go together. How does that process work? It's great that you've worked both on the MLS side and also on the pre-construction side. So you're an expert here, way more than me, about how that process works. And how does it work if you decide, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger. I'm going to buy myself a condo at, I don't know, Bloor and Islington or whatever, and it's not going to be ready for another 4 years. How does that work to do that?
We always advise that the purchaser, that they should be doing some research. If there's this kind of narrow down the neighborhood you want to be in, if you're an end user, you're going to know, you know, it's going to be easier for you to identify where you want to live. If you're an investor, you can also look at various neighborhoods to invest in. So do your research, identify projects that fit your price point, location, look at the developer's reputation, make sure it's a developer that builds their product, look at the various amenities that interest you. Obviously, price is important, and then you can narrow down that selection. So you can either go directly to the builder's sales office, but often what we find is the pre-sales are done through the brokerage, the resale brokerage community, particularly platinum agents and VIP agents. So if you do have a trusted realtor, you can also reach out to them, and they can guide you through this process, right? So then they would take you, or you would go yourself to a sales office where the listing agent's staff, which would be like my team, would give you the full presentation, tell you all about the project, educate you about from A to Z about what you need to know about that particular development, help you with pre-qualifying you on financing, talk to you about the deposit structure, you know, really lay out an A to Z process on how to purchase this. And then from there, you would go ahead and you would enter into usually a worksheet, which is like a reservation agreement. And from that, they would type an agreement of purchase and sale, and you would sign this agreement of purchase and sale and give your initial deposit. There would be a deposit schedule and all kinds of details pertaining to the condominium, including the finishings that they would go through at the sales office and explain to you. So at the end of the day, when we reach interim occupancy, final closing, and this property is transferred to you, you've understood the process all the way through. So it's very important that we, you know, we encourage people really try to go to the sales office, spend as much time as possible. It's a huge purchase. And you need to understand, like, it always surprised me. They'll have people, they'll say to me, oh, I went to 16 car dealerships and test drove, you know, six cars. And then I finally made a decision. It took me like 3 months. And I'm like, well, how long did it take to buy your condo? Oh, I don't know. I did it online in a Zoom call with an agent. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right. It is a very big purchase. You mentioned a worksheet, which is something that doesn't exist in MLS sales. In an MLS sale, your agent will typically type up an offer, an agreement of purchase and sale, which is either accepted or negotiated or rejected, whatever. But there is a thing called a worksheet when you're buying pre-construction. And then from the worksheet comes an actual agreement of purchase and sale from that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. Well,
she's like a reservation that you fill out and you usually get three choices of units to see what's available or homes, whatever you're buying. And you put all your legal information on that. And then that goes to the site administrator and agents who type out the agreement of purchase and sale.
Perfect. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about deposit structures. I know that there are a series of deposits that are typically paid. Please explain. Oh, before we get to, let's talk about deposits, but there's also a 10-day cooling off period, which exists in pre-construction that doesn't exist in MLS purchases. Explain a little bit about how that works.
So how the pre-construction deposit structure is different and we think is a win-win for purchasers from the resale world. The resale world, you usually have to put in whatever that lump sum is, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, depending on the amount of purchase or the price, purchase price of the residence. And then there's usually a top up at some point, maybe when it goes firm or whatever. Whereas here in the pre-con world, developers have come up with this wonderful formula where we spread out the deposits sometimes over 5 years, where you'll do, we have projects right now, like the Grand and Pickering, where you do 2.5% this year, 2.5% next year, 2.5% the year out. Like it's a massively spread out deposit. So it really helps you with a savings plan. That's wonderful for first time buyers because coming up with 20% down, even though you may in a resale deal have to only put 5% down, usually to qualify for a mortgage, kind of the industry standard is you do have to come up with 20% down, especially in today's economic situation, how tight the banks have gotten with, you know, approving people. So this gives you the flexibility, the stretch deposit structure that developers, allow on their sales floor to be able to save money, to, you know, do whatever you have to do, take it out of your line of credit, pay it off, you know, draw the line again, pay it off. So this the initial deposit is usually around $5,000. Some other developers will take it on a credit card. Sometimes it has to be a draft or a check. And then there's those subsequent payments that get spelled out in the agreement of purchase and sale. And I say, we've seen them stretch up to 5 years. It's wonderful.
Exactly. Okay. So it's a series of payments and there are specific dates that are required. So on, September the 1st, you're going to need to make your next payment. You're going to make a deposit now. And then in September, another one. And then 6 months after that, another one. So it's a series of smaller payments that eventually add up to your total down payment. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're usually post-dated checks, just so that the paperwork is clean, you know, to hand in your 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, post-dated checks. But, you know, we on the sales floor tell our clients and their agents, if they have an agent, that please put in your calendar, give yourself a reminder 10 days in advance so you know you have to transfer funds, et cetera, and that the money is in the bank account.
Okay, perfect. So then over the next couple of years, 2 or 3 years, people will watch that structure going up if it's a high rise. Very exciting times. You know, you can point to the floor. Oh, my unit's going to be on the 20th floor. They're working on the 20th floor. Very exciting time. And then a very exciting letter comes from the developer, I believe, saying that occupancy is going to happen, right? And there's a walkthrough that takes place. But you mentioned earlier a few minutes ago that there's interim occupancy and then there's actual closing. And I think this is a topic that causes some confusion amongst the general public. They say, well, there's two closings. Well, it isn't really two closings. There's two events that take place. The first one is occupancy. And can you explain a little bit how occupancy works? And then what is the final closing? What's the difference between those two?
So occupancy is triggered when a building is complete at a certain stage, in other words, X amount of the amenities are finished, your suites are finished, you're able to actually move in and occupy that particular unit. So this event will be triggered, and there will be an occupancy fee that you have to pay after you receive these keys. And this is a formula of a combination of the mortgage, what the taxes and maintenance would be. So the developer comes up with it, and that's mandated by the government, what that fee is. And you may sit through occupancy 1 week, you may go to closing right away, or you may sit through occupancy for 60 days, depending on, you know, the developer and how far along the project itself is, or how high or low you are in the building when it comes to finishings. So then you will get another notice that you will have a final close. And the final close is when your mortgage kicks in. So the beauty of the occupancy, it does, once it's triggered, it gives you time to be able to ensure that you've got all your ducks in a row for final closing, which is the actual turnover of funds and the registering of the unit in your name. So it gives you usually a little bit of leeway if you're scrambling, or, you know, in today's economy, we find that financing wise, that many people are scrambling in the last minute. They've gone to multiple financial institutions, they're still trying to decide where to get the best deal, et cetera. So they might have conditions that they have to fulfill in their mortgage approval process. So we like that little bit of a breather that you get in. Most of our developers will allow, if it's an investor, will allow the client to lease out their unit during interim occupancy, so that, you know, there isn't a huge financial drain on the client. And it's something that your broker, or if you have a trusted broker, or our company can help take care of through our property management and leasing division. We can take that and lease it for you if you're an investor, and that will offset, you know, a big chunk of those occupancy fees.
Good point. Good point. So, okay, let's say you are a potential investor in that condo that you bought at Bloor and Islington. I'm just making that up. Was in order. It's an investment. You're going to have a condo there. You're going to rent it out. So you are able, once you receive the occupancy notice, you can rent that out and put a tenant in there and start getting some cash flow from that unit before you even own it, technically, because I believe until final closing, you actually don't own the unit. Is that correct? Is that right?
You have to have permission from the developer. And right. As I said, most right. developers do give that permission, the APS, and you still have to request it from the developer, because it's up to them at the end of the day to give that permission. And there's, you know, conditions have to be met. All your deposits have to be in order. Like right. your agreement has to be in good standing for them to allow that. Sure. But we're finding that, you know, 99% of our developers allow that.
Okay. So yeah, we'll go with the investment. So you put a tenant in there, and then a little while after occupancy, could be a few months later, you get another notice that, okay, it's time for final closing. And that's where you go in and your lawyer gets involved with the transfer of deed. Is that correct? And at that point, the mortgage kicks in, you pay whatever, if there's any additional down payment to make, whatever. But basically the transfer of ownership takes place. You now own the unit. That's the final closing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So it's a two-step thing. Occupancy comes first, and then final closing comes later. Okay, that's great. And that's, again, we're going to talk about some of the benefits, because there's a time lag involved here. It could be 3 or 4 years or more, depending on the height of the building, I'm not talking about occupancy. Sorry, to explain, from the first day that you bought it. Yeah. No, occupancy can stretch out a little while, but it depends sometimes where you are in the building. If you're on a lower floor, it could be maybe longer than if you're on a higher floor. But okay. So I don't know how detailed we want to get into this, but there are some issues with HST. Well, let's talk about assignments. First of all, what is an assignment? When someone buys a condo pre-construction, you hear all this stuff, you read about it in the Toronto Star, that people are selling a unit on assignment before they actually get titled to that property. What is an assignment sale? How does that work?
So an assignment sale is when the buyer, for whatever reason, maybe they cannot close or they've chosen not to close, the original buyer transfers their rights and all their obligations to the new buyer for a fee. So this is, you know, something that we've seen a little of an uptick in this trend post-pandemic.
Interesting.
It's really benefited property owners. It just gives them the flexibility to sell the property before the completion. You know, there are people that go out with the intent of, this is purely an investment and I do want to assign it and make some money on it. And then there's other people that, for whatever reason, they have a job transfer, or in that 5 years, their family grows, they can't fit in that unit anymore. they're forced to sell the unit.
Okay.
So this gives them an out. This gives the buyer an out that they have the ability to transfer, you know, ownership of that unit. Now they have to have permission from the developer. They have to have that clause originally in their agreement that allows them to sign it, and they still have to ask for permission from the developer. And we always make that very, very clear. And the developers usually in our experience, give that permission much, much later on in the site when their site is basically sold out. But, and that works to the benefit of the buyer because that's when your property has appreciated. Like if you think you're going to sign something after your 10-day cooling off period, you're really not going to have appreciation in it. But if you wait 3 or 4 years or 5 years or whenever your closing is, and you assign 6 months or 8 months before your closing, you've got a nice, usually a nice little chunk of appreciation that's built up. Plus you get your deposit back, which is a forced savings plan.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned that we've been through so many changes in the last 2 years in the real estate market here in Canada, basically, but especially in the GTA and in Vancouver. With the rising rates, we had, I think, 10 interest rate increases since early 2022, and things have really changed in the real estate world. That's for sure. Right now, a lot of people are talking about, well, rates are going to come down. They're going to come down sometime this year, and they might. I suspect they will, maybe not as early as people would like them to, but I think we're going to see declining rates. Would you say that the fact that when you're buying pre-construction, there's such a long time frame, let's say it's a 4 or 5 year time frame, would you say that the chances are pretty good that 4 years from now, rates could be lower than they are today? And therefore, buying pre-construction might make a whole lot of sense.
Oh, absolutely, Randy. I would bet money on it. Reason being, if you look back over the last decade, the average interest rate has hovered around 4%.
Right.
So, you know, we don't believe we're going to see the 1.8, 1.9, 2%. We know that those are emergency, you know, rates, crisis, you know, those interest rates come out in crisis situations. And we hope we don't see those again for a long, long time or never. But we think like coming back to 4 to 5% interest rate is a normal interest rate. And people will just have to adjust their expectations, their financial lifestyle, that this is what my house costs at 4% or 4.5%. And when they do come back to that, we are telling our purchasers, that's when you lock into your 5% rate, or if you can get an even longer rate, and you just adjust everything accordingly. But really the development industry is very, very savvy here in Southern Ontario. Like many, many of our clients are offering all kinds of rate buy downs. So we have, again, like, let's say at the Grand, it's a Chestnut Hill site in Pickering. I'm just using that because they've been very aggressive and very successful. They sold, you know, almost 400 units this year with this kind of incentive where they're giving a mortgage buy down to buy down your mortgage to 3.99% or around 4%. And it's a cash back that you will use, that they'll deposit monthly for you, that you can use for your towards your mortgage upon closing. And if the rates float down, you're still going to get the cash back. So it's a win-win situation.
That's great.
Ensuring these rates so that you can, you know, rest assured that not only are you going to have the 4 years or 5 years of, you know, appreciation while this building is under construction, you're going to have another year or two of security, of mortgage security. And you can't tell me in 7 years that those rates aren't going to float down. I don't believe that.
That's great to hear. So what's the name of that, the development in Pickering again? That's a great one to know about.
It's the Grand at Universal City, and it's by Chestnut Hill Developments. And they've had some fantastic promotions, and as have many of our other developments too. So as I said, education is very important. And if you don't have the ability to do a far reaching, you know, research on all these various developments, contact our office and we'll put you in touch with one of our sales managers, and then you come to our site, have a cup of coffee with them, and they'll guide you because we sell from east to west, north to south. Like any given time, we're representing about, you know, 40 developments. So there's a wide range of high rise, mid rise, low rise, and you can really get yourself educated about the various marketplaces, what to watch, the trends, what's coming up, what do you need? Like what's going to fulfill you? Are you looking for location? Do you need schools? Do you need transport? Do you want a good ROI? Like, What is it? And then they'll match you to the particular developments.
Very interesting, Debbie. I can see how why intuition has been so successful over the years. So you're dealing with multiple locations right now. I know you are heavily involved with Parkside Village in Mississauga with Amicon. I believe you guys did quite a bit with that. And they've still got, I think, four different buildings that are under construction right now. But you're out in Pickering, you're in Toronto. I know you're all over the place. Would you say that a lot of people at the beginning of the year were saying, well, you know, the developers have cut back. They're not going to be building as much. We're going to end up with a crisis 3 or 4 years from now because they're not building enough now. Do you see that the construction and the product launches, not construction, but the product launches have rebounded a bit and that things are getting back to normal?
Well, builders are lining up to launch. We're launching Highline for Brant Haven in North Mississauga. We're launching that in a couple of weeks. We are launching another development for Chestnut Hill Developments called The Wild at Glencairn and Marley in May of this year. We're launching another one called 1989 Condos in Burlington for Lash Developments also in May. So we have 22 launches lined up for this year, and we have three coming out in the next 30 days, next 60 days. We believe that the majority of our 22 will come out at some point this year, just a matter of approval processes, sales offices being complete, et cetera, et cetera. We know that there is a big pent-up demand of developers wanting to come to the marketplace.
Yep.
So we believe that there'll be a healthy offering later this year, fall, et cetera. What buyers have to understand is this is the time to buy. This is the time to buy because prices are great. They haven't been flying through the roof like they were, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Developers have been pretty consistent with keeping their pricing tight to entice spot purchasers. They've got great incentives, which we haven't seen in decades in Southwestern Ontario, the mortgage buy downs and discounts on parking and, free assignments, all kinds of things that developers are layering on as incentives. So take advantage of those incentives because as soon as the rates start coming down, the market's going to go through the roof again. There's going to be a lot of launches. There's going to be a lot of activity and prices are going to start to rise. That's just normal. It's a supply and demand situation. So why would you not take advantage of a pre-construction purchase now that isn't closing for 3, 4, 5 years, but you're getting this great, great deal? Developers are going to hedge your bets against interest rates. They're just such a win-win situation to purchase now versus purchasing this time next year, where it's going to be a totally different ballgame.
Maybe you are so right, I think. I think the minute that the rates start to edge down, even a quarter point, you're going to see the market pop, both on the MLS side and both in pre-construction as well. There is a ton of people out there. There's a ton of pent-up demand. The population has grown ridiculously over the past 2 years. That's just part of it. And there's a lot of money out there. There's a lot of money just sitting on the sidelines right now waiting to buy something. I think you're so right. I think the minute we see the first interest rate decrease, everything's going to go crazy. And you're right. Now is the time to buy, not when there's multiple offers on an MLS. So we got 25 offers on a house that's priced properly. I mean, today you read about the odd one where an agent deliberately prices it too low and you get 80 offers on a semi in Mississauga, which is ridiculous. But that's an engineered bidding war. And also, you're right. Right now, I can tell you from my own experience, 2 or 3 years ago, before the interest rates started going up, there were not a whole lot of incentives from builders. There weren't because they didn't have to. There'd be a product, be a condo launch, it would be packed. There'd be 200 agents there, and the thing, all the best suites would be gone in the first day. So I think we could get back to that. I definitely think we could. I'm a great believer in the Greater Toronto Area and in Southern Ontario and in Canada. We're a pretty good country, I think, overall. People still want to move here. I mean, it's not the weather. It's not because of the weather, but they come here because it's a good place to live. It's peaceful, relatively. We don't have some of the drama that some other parts of the world have. There's no war going on here, that's for sure. But people want to come here, especially to raise their kids. And it's accepting. We're so multicultural these days. Just amazing. We're blessed, actually. We are very blessed in many ways. So
we really are. And there's such a great offering in the pre-construction world. There's downtown living, urban living, suburban living, low rise condos, three story, four story, retirement, high rise. There's everything. Like, there's the beauty of Southwestern Ontario is there is everything to offer. Like, I travel a fair amount, and I'll go to, markets. Miami is one of my favorite places, and they talk about, what a wonderful market Miami is. And yes, it's on fire. It's very much a luxury market, though. But their volume doesn't touch what we do here. So it just goes to show, how desirable Toronto is. Maybe it's not sunny, and maybe it's not as sexy as Miami, but you hit the nail on the head. It's a great place to live and raise a family. And if you don't want to be in the city, there's lots of urban opportunity, suburban opportunities that, you can create a wonderful life in.
You know what amazes me is you drive out Dundas. I'm in Mississauga, so you drive out Dundas Street west through Oakville and into Burlington, and those used to be open fields just 5 years ago. And now the amount of construction out there, both for single family homes and for high rises in Oakville, in North Oakville, are you kidding me? That is unusual, and it's just a complete game changer out there. And Burlington too. I think you mentioned you got a product in Burlington. That place is evolving immensely, I think. Over the last 5 years, you've got some high rises coming up downtown. I hope we can meet the demand. I really do. Because I talked to a guy the other day that did a sale in Watertown, which to me, I used to think that's like way out. That's Hamilton territory. And now it's like people commute from Watertown. You know, when they might work from home 3 days a week, but when they got to come in, they drive in on the QEW. And I just hope we can
Absolutely.
meet the demand. I really do, because we're at an affordability point now where we can't go up too much higher. But I think you're absolutely right when you say now is the time to get in before the floodgates open, because they will once the rates start to come down again.
And we won't, we're not meeting the demand now. We will have not been meeting the demand for the last decade. We will not be able to meet the demand. There is a housing shortage that'll just is going to be intensified as you said, more purchasers jump into the marketplace. I mean, we're already seeing in the resale world, our colleagues are telling us anything under 1.2 million is having multiple offers. Maybe not the craziness of the 80 offers where somebody listed their property $200,000 under list price, but even the normally list ones are having a couple of offers on them. This has been spawned by just the interest rates staying flat for a couple of months.
Think
Imagine
about
what's going
that.
to happen when they actually start going down.
I
So,
agree.
and as I said, I keep saying, listen, if you can't afford to be in the city, go out of the city. There's condos everywhere. There's townhouses everywhere. There's detached properties. We're selling in Oshawa, we're selling in Picton, we're selling in Guelph, Kitchener, Burlington, Oakville, all these
Wow.
suburban markets all over the place. And there's a ton of offering.
I think what they really need to do, what the province really needs to do, is work on that transit infrastructure. I think that is so key. I like the fact, and again, we talked earlier before we started, I'm not really a political person, but I like what the current Ontario government is doing because they're doing something. They're finally building subways. They're finally upgrading, the GO train. They're building a few roads here and there. And that I think is that's kind of like the backbone for the GTA. It's no good to live out in Guelph if you can't get to where you work, even if you're only going in 1 or 2 days a week. And that's another story. But if there's a GO train or a GO bus or some sort of rapid transit, that's going to just look at the amount of development proposals that are coming out in places like Scarborough with this extension of a new subway, the Ontario line. And here in Mississauga, with the LRT, the crazy LRT going up and down, which they say is going to be done this year. I highly doubt it, but it's under construction. And again, you've got a raft of proposals going up and down here in Ontario because people see the value of that transit. I just hope that future governments, the provincial and municipal governments, can buy into that and realize how important that is. We got to have a structure here so that people can get from A to B. That's my 2 cents.
So the infrastructure is one of the, one of the hot spots and one of the hot points, I think, for politicians moving forward, period. I mean, the economy doesn't work without it. We, as I said, when we go on our housing tours and we'll go to, many of the European cities, we go to
Oh,
the Netherlands and we're shocked at the size of their subways and their above ground and below ground transport systems that are being built far, far ahead of any development. I mean, being in I think it was in Norway, and we were like, where are these roads and this going to? Oh, housing will come here, apartments will come here. Right. When? Oh, in a couple of years, but they're already putting in the infrastructure. It's amazing. So I think that this
that's
is
right on.
Absolutely critical.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, that is so interesting, Debbie, to talk to you about this. And I know pre-construction has been one of Toronto real estate's absolute strengths over the past 10 or 15 years. It's just phenomenal. And it is back. I like the fact that about the builder incentives that they're offering right now. I think that's fantastic. And I hope people need to check into that, because if they're buying down mortgage rates for a year or two, that's a huge incentive for anybody who's interested in pre-construction. And again, you know way more about this than I do, but that time frame, that time lag between the first initial purchase, when you sign the agreement of purchase and sale, and when you finally close, that's been one of the biggest benefits, I believe, in pre-construction, because you've got that 3, 4, or 5 years of price appreciation built in, so that when you finally take possession of that property, you finally get title on it, you made a bunch of money when you just closed, which doesn't exist in MLS, because that's a much shorter time frame. And I think with the current environment that we're in right now, where I'm pretty sure, like it's close to 100% sure, that rates will come down. They know it. The Bank of Canada knows they need to bring them down. And the whole industry, the whole real estate industry knows we have to bring them down. Inflation has tempered a little bit. I think it's still running high. Every time I go to the grocery store, it's a shock. I can't believe it. But so there's some things that are still really expensive, the price of gas, but they want us to all get electric cars. That's another issue. But I think, you know, the future is bright for the GTA. It really is, for Southern Ontario and for Canada. And again, when I look around the world, I think it's a pretty good place to live, in spite of the odd spring snowstorm. You know, we're in a pretty good place.
Slow down with the weather. No, absolutely. Listen, it's pre-construction is a forced savings plan, especially for the younger generation. We're always telling our clients, get your children to buy as soon as they're of age and they have a job, get them to invest in real estate, whether they live there or not. Keep in mind, what's the best way to build? I always feel it's the best way to build wealth, long-term secure wealth. And we call it the mom-and-pop investor, where they come in and they're buying, you know, 2-3 units over maybe a decade or, you know, X amount of years for their children. And they're putting renters or tenants into these units to help offset the majority of the cost. There still might be a bit of a shortfall, but it's a forced savings plan. And the tenant is paying off the majority of the expenses on this unit. So fast forward 25 years, when your child is, you know, has finished school and has his own job and can take over this unit potentially, what a great opportunity to be able to help your child start off their life by, you know, gifting in this unit versus waiting for them to inherit the money in the will. And we're finding more and more, like the majority of our buyers are made up of these mom-pa investors that want to secure their children or want to secure themselves. They'll buy 3-4 units over a decade, slowly purchasing them. And then they rent them and they keep them till they're ready to retire. And suddenly you've got this, you know, multi-million dollar little nest egg that has maybe taken 25 years to accumulate, but that's okay. That's money in the bank. That's when you sell this property and you move down south and you take the proceeds of it, or you do reverse mortgage or all kinds of cool things, but you have equity built up and somebody else's rent has paid for the majority of it. That's smart investing.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. So Debbie, this has been fun. This has been a nice chat, honest to goodness. And you're welcome to come back on the podcast anytime. There's so much to talk about. We could probably go on for hours, but and I think we're at kind of a pivot point right now. I agree with you that this is a good time. There's a good opportunity right now. You don't want to buy when the market is going ballistic. You want to buy now before it goes ballistic. And all points, I think that the chance of interest rates going up in Canada right now is pretty much zero. It could happen in the US. It might. That's something to keep an eye on. But I think here, the economy is not overheating. It's definitely, they're not going to raise them. They're going to lower them. That's 100% for sure. When? Nobody knows. Nobody really knows. You've got these pundits that are out there saying, oh, they're going to lower them in time for the spring market. Well, that didn't happen. But they might lower them in June, or they might lower them in September or at the end of the year. We don't know. And it could be a gradual thing. But the point is that over time, interest rates will come down. And like you said earlier, we're not ever going to see 1.5% or 2% interest rates, mortgage rates again. That's not going to happen. But they are coming down and they're going to be much more affordable in the future. And that's where pre-construction makes so much sense, because you've got that time invested in there. Give it time for the interest rates to come down. And I think you're going to see everything pop. I really do believe that. So, Debbie.
Thank you, Randy. You are a great cheerleader. If you ever want to make a career change, please call us.
I want to make a career change. I want to move to a beach somewhere down in the Caribbean. That's what I want to do.
Here you are too.
But it's been a real pleasure, honest to goodness. And you have a great day. Thanks for being on board today.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate the opportunity, and have a wonderful week.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye
Thank
now.
You.
Thank you for listening to another episode, the Randy Selzer Real Estate Podcast. Follow us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And check out our main website at randyselzer.com for much more valuable info on the Canadian real estate scene.